بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. صدق الله العظيم. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran: ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. The messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم is not the father of any of your men, but instead he is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the seal of the prophets. Now there's a lot of tafsir on what "not the father of any of your men" means, but there's a consistent agreement amongst the Mufassirin and the Muhaddithin that the ayah can be taken literally. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not the father of any men from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. His lineage continues through his daughters, Zainab radiallahu anha, Ruqayyah radiallahu anha, Ummi Kulthum radiallahu anha, and Fatima radiallahu anha. The banat of Sayyidi waladi Adam, the daughters of the chief of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And normally, we give much attention, deservedly so, to Fatima radiallahu anha. This is the daughter who lived past Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the only one to live past his life, and perhaps the most prominent in this regard as a scholar, as someone who shaped the community around her. Yet, no less importance should be given to the other daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and particularly not the eldest of them, Zainab radiallahu anha. Today's lecture, inshaAllah, will be all about Zainab binti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa radiallahu anha. Now, obviously, when discussing any Sahabi, it helps to discuss their lineage, the lineage by which they connect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we discussed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we found him to be a fifth cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or sixth cousin. Umar radiallahu anhu was a fifth cousin. Ali radiallahu anhu was a direct cousin. Uthman radiallahu anhu was around the seventh cousin. And, well, Zainab radiallahu anha is simply his daughter. So Zainab radiallahu anha binti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Ibn Hashim, Ibn Abdi Manaf, Ibn Qusay, Ibn Kilab, Ibn Murrah, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Lu'ay, Ibn Ghalib, Ibn Fihr, Ibn Malik, Ibn Nadr, Ibn Kinana, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Mudrika, Ibn Ilyas, Ibn Mudar, Ibn Nizar, Ibn Ma'ad, Ibn Adnan. That's her lineage to Adnan, going directly through her father, Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was born in 23 BH, 23 years before the Hijrah, when Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was 30 years old. So that's 10 BW, 10 years before Wahy. And by the consensus of all the scholars, she was the firstborn daughter of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. In Ustul Ghaba, his book on the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ibn al-Athir writes, وَقَدْ شَذَّ مَنْ لَا اِعْتِبَارَ لَهُ. That truly aberrant or anomalous is the consideration of, or the opinion of, he who has no consideration, that she was not the oldest of his daughters. So anyone who holds that Zainab radiallahu anha was not the firstborn daughter of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam holds a completely anomalous and aberrant opinion. She was the oldest daughter, as transmitted by both Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri in Mustadrak al-Hakim, and Ibn Juraij, as transmitted by Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. So there's no question of the fact. There is debate, however, regarding whether she was the firstborn of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's children at large, or if that title belongs to Qasim radiallahu anhu, the firstborn son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some genealogists say that Qasim radiallahu anhu was born before Zainab radiallahu anha. And this is the opinion, this seems to be the majority opinion, which is also supported by a narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. However, it should be kept in mind, nonetheless, that Ibn al-Kalbi, perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest genealogist of the Muslim civilization, considered Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha to actually have been born even before Qasim radiallahu anhu. From his if taking his view, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement is applied even chronologically, that the firstborn child ever given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, according to Ibn al-Kalbi, would be a daughter. And that would then continue the pattern of the children of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, the living pattern of his living children. Yet, as I mentioned, the majority opinion is that Qasim radiallahu anhu was born first, and Zainab radiallahu anha was born after him. Now, not too much is known about Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha before the Hijrah. Obviously, before the Hijrah, no one is really recording the life of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam to the exact same extent as they did in Medina, and especially not his young daughters. Nonetheless, though, we do have record of her migration to Medina itself. The Sirah books and Hadith books mention that shortly after the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam migrated to Medina, he wanted Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha to come meet with him. So, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha made preparations to also migrate to Medina. Now, at this point in time, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but who at this point in time was not a Muslim. So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha at this point in time was married to a non-Muslim, Abu al-As, who would become a Muslim later on. So she could not make this journey with him to Medina, since obviously he wanted to stay in Mecca. So she decided to make this journey with her brother-in-law, Kinana, or in some other narrations, Ibn Kinana. And this flight to Medina is detailed beautifully by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak. He writes that Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr ibn Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Hazm, one of the Tabi'een, narrates, حُدِّثْتُ عَنْ زَيْنَبَ بِنْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ I was narrated on the authority of Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself. قالت, she said, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا بِمَكَّةَ أَتَجَهَّزُ لِلْلُحُوقِ بِأَبِي At the time, or at a certain point in time, I was in Mecca preparing to meet my father. لَقِيَتْنِي هِنْدُ بِنْتُ عُتْبَةَ ابْنِ رَبِيعَةَ So while I was preparing, I was met by Hind ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Once again, radiallahu ta'ala anha, but who was not currently a Muslimah at the time. This is the same Hind radiallahu anha who was the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. So she came up to me, faqalat, ya binta Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam yablughni annaki turidin al-luhuq bi abik? Has it not reached me that you desire to go and meet your father or unite with your father? قالت فقلت ما أردت ذلك. So Zainab radiallahu anha, despite wanting to do so exactly that and preparing for it, said ما أردت ذلك. No, I don't want to do that. And obviously she's being tactical here. She's being tactful because she's speaking to someone who had a very clear enmity with Islam at this point in time. Hind radiallahu anha was very outspoken against many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. فَقَالَتْ أَيَّ بْنَةَ عَمْ But here we see a different side of Hind radiallahu anha. Here we see that despite her outspoken nature against Islam, she is nonetheless considering of the visceral relationship between a daughter and her father. So she says, أَيَّ بْنَةَ عَمْ O cousin of mine, لَا تَفْعَلِي Don't do this, meaning don't lie to me. إن كانت لك حاجة في متاع مما يرفق بك في سفرك وتبلغين به إلى أبيك فإن عندي حاجتك. She tells her that if you have any provisional needs. Any need for any sort of provisions or luggage or merchandise that you need to make your way to your father, then tell me. I'll have what you need, and I'll give it to you to reunite with your father. So this is coming from Hind radiallahu anha, or before she's a Muslim. And Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Wallahi ma araha qalat dhalika illa li taf'al. By Allah, I don't think she said that except that she would actually have given me whatever I wanted, that she would have actually followed through on that promise. قَالَتْ وَلَكِنْ خِفْتُهَا. But I was wary of her. فَأَنْكَرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أُرِيدَ ذَلِكَ. So I denied that I wanted to go meet with my father, though in reality that's what Zainab radiallahu anha wanted to do. So she still remained wary of the situation. فَتَجَهَّزْتُ. So I prepared. فَلَمَّا فَرَغْتُ مِنْ جِهَازِ. Once I was finished preparing, قَدِمَ حَمُّي كِنَانَةُ ابْنُ الرَّبِيعِ. My brother-in-law Kinana ibn Rabi', who I mentioned earlier, أَخُو زَوْجِي, the brother of my husband. فَقَدَّمَ لِي بَعِيرًا. So he brought forth a camel for me. فَرَكِبْتُهُ وَأَخَذْتُ قَوْسَهُ وَكِنَانَتَهُ. And I grabbed his quiver. فَخَرَجَ بِي نَهَارًا. Now here was the thing. Normally most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they left to Medina, they left in the middle of the night, in the dead of night. So none of the Quraysh would know. And by the time the Quraysh found out, they were too far ahead that the Quraysh could really do much to catch up. Kinana radiallahu anhu, however, accidentally went or made the mistake of going at broad daylight. فَخَرَجْتُ بِي نَهَارًا. He left with me in broad daylight. Or I left in broad daylight. يَقُودُهَا وَهِيَ فِي هَوْدَجٍ لَهَا. He was taking her, Zainab radiallahu anha, while she was in a hawda. A hawda is sort of carriage that you put over an elephant or a camel or a horse, a sort of palanquin. فَتَحَدَّثَ بِذَلِكَ رِجَالُ قُرَيْشِ. So the men of Quraysh, the people of Quraysh, began talking about it. فَخَرَجُوا فِي طَلَبِهَا. And so they went to find her. حَتَّى أَدْرَكُوهَا بِذِيطُوَى. Until they found her in Dhitua, which was a place near Mecca. فَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ سَبَقَ إِلَيْهَا هَبَّارُ بْنُ الْأَسْوَدِ. The first person to get to her was a man whose name was Habbar ibn al-Aswad ibn al-Muttalib, ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza. And this Habbar will become instrumental later. وَنَافِعُ ibn Abdi Qais al-Fihri. And another person in Nafir ibn Qais al-Fihri. يُرَوِّعُهَا هَبَّارٌ. Habbarun was threatening her, scaring her, بِالرُّمْحِ وَهِيَ فِي هَوْدَجِهَا, with a spear while she was in her carriage. So he was threatening to impale the carriage, and threatening to impale the person inside the carriage, none other than the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ حَامِلًا فِي مَا يَزْعُمُونَ. And the woman, meaning Zainab radiallahu anha, at this time was pregnant, as most of the narrators claim. فَتَرَاجَمُوهَا. So they continued to harass her. وَنَثَلَ كِنَانَتَّهُ. ثُمَّ قَالْ. But then Kinana radiallahu anhu took out his bow and he said, لَا يَدْنُ مِنِّي رَجُلٌ إِلَّا وَضَعْتُ فِيهِ سَهْمًا. That no person will come close to me except that I'll put an arrow in him. So Kinana radiallahu anhu is defending the daughter of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. فَتَكَرْكَرَ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ. So people took a step back from him, obviously since it's getting violent now. وَأَتَى أَبُو سُفْيَانَ. And then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who's one of the major chieftains or heads of the Quraysh, فِي جُلَّةٍ مِّن قُرَيْشٍ, came with a band of Quraysh. فَقَالْ أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ. He said, oh person, كُفَّ عَنَّا نَبَلَكَ, stay your arrowheads from us, حَتَّى نُكَلِّمَكَ, so we can talk to you. فَكَفَّ. So Kinana radiallahu anhu put away his bow. فَأَقْبَلَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ حَتَّى وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ. And then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu came close to him until he stood right in front of him. ثُمَّ فَقَالْ إِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصِبْ. You haven't acted wisely. خَرَجْتَ بِالْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ النَّاسِ عَلَانِيَةً. You've left with this woman just publicly in front of people. وَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ مُصِيبَتَنَا وَنَكْبَتَنَا. But you know our gripe and our problem with this woman. وَمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And what problems have happened to us on account of her father, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَظُنُّ النَّاسِ. So what are people going to think? وَقَدْ أُخْرِجَ بِابْنَتِهِ إِلَيْهِ عَلَانِيَةً. When they just see his daughter being taken to him publicly, عَلَى رُؤُوسِ النَّاسِ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِنَا, between our very selves, we're just going to let her go like that, the daughter of our enemy. أَنَّ ذَلِكَ عَنْ ذُلٍّ أَصَابَنَا عَنْ مُصِيبَتِنَا الَّتِي كَانَتْ. They're going to think that's just a further disgrace on them. Imagine your enemy is being escorted in front of your very eyes, and his daughter is being escorted to him, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Obviously, that would be a big humiliation for the Quraysh. So Abu Sufyan is almost reproaching Kinana radiallahu anhu that why did you do this in the broad daylight? And he continues, وَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ ضَعْفٌ بِنَا وَوَهُنْ. And they're going to think then that we're super weak and frail. وَلَا عَمْرِي. And Abu Sufyan tells Kinana radiallahu anhu upright, مَا لَنَا بِحَبْسِهَا عَنَ بِهَا حَاجَةً. We don't have any need to keep her imprisoned or keep her away from her father. وَلَكِنْ إِرْجِعْ بِالْمَرْأَةِ. But go back with the woman. حَتَّى إِذَا هَدَأَ الصَّوْتُ. When the uproar has died down. وَتَحَدَّثَ النَّاسُ أَنَّا قَدْ رَدَدْنَاهَا. And the people are now think that, okay, we've returned her. فَسُلَّهَا سِرًا. Then take her at nighttime secretly. فَأَلْحِقْهَا بِأَبِيهَا. And reunite her with her father. Keep in mind, at the beginning of the story, Hind radiallahu anha said, whatever you need, I'll help you reunite with your father. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, an enemy of Islam who fought them until the 8th year of Hijrah, or had gripes with the Muslims until the 8th year of Hijrah, is telling the Sahaba that how to reunite Zainab radiallahu anha with her father. And before we continue with the story, it just goes to show that even the enemies of Islam realized that you do not want to keep the daughter of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam away from him. That simply the idea of keeping a daughter away from her father was an unspeakable one. That even in the midst of war, and even in the midst of persecution and enmity and antagonization, this was something the Quraysh were willing to facilitate, or at least the noble among them. And this is very clearly seen with Zainab radiallahu anha, Hind radiallahu anha, who was extremely outspoken to the point of extreme enmity against Islam, and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who continued to war against them, were willing to do whatever it took to get Zainab radiallahu anha to Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And what did that say then of the unspoken connection between Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? So the story continues, قَالَ فَفَعَلْ. So Kinana radiallahu anhu did that. فَرَجَعَ. He went home. فَأَقَامَتْ لَيَالًا حَتَّى إِذَا هَدَأَ الصَّوْتُ. And he stayed for a few nights until the uproar calmed down. خَرَجَ بِهَا لَيْلًا. He took her at night time. حَتَّى سَلَّمَهَا إِلَى زَيْدِ بْنِ حَارِثَةَ وَصَاحِبِهِ. Until he gave her to Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu and his companion. فَقَدِمَا بِهَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And then they took her to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is one perspective of the story. Now we have the perspective, so far what we have is the perspective of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha and Kinana radiallahu anhu. But there's actually a second perspective to the exact same story. This is the perspective now of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and who's his sahibi. So the following hadith in Musaddaq al-Hakim gives us more details. I'll spare the Arabic, but it mentions that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam arrived in Medina, his daughter set out to Medina also with Kinana, or Ibn Kinana, as I mentioned. And men pursued her, and as the men pursued her, as I mentioned, one of the people to get to her hawda, or carriage, was a man by the name of Habbar ibn al-Aswad. This narration mentions that as Habbar was impaling her hawda, he actually did hit the stomach of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, causing the camel to buck and her to fall. And that it was a result of this that she actually lost and had a miscarriage of the son she was currently pregnant with. So, according to this narration, she actually suffered a deep wound from Habbar ibn al-Aswad, one which caused her to suffer the loss of a child. Then she fell, and now what do you do with this woman who's just been hurt and who clearly cannot make a travel to Medina currently, even if we wanted to let her? So the clans of Banu Hashim and Banu Umayyah started to dispute over her. Banu Hashim, as we know, was the tribe of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, and Banu Umayyah was a sister tribe that was extremely large. And many famous Sahaba radiallahu anhum were from Banu Umayyah, for example, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So the Banu Umayyah, though, said, we have greater claim to her. Even though her father is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she should be, and she might, you might think she should be with Banu Hashim then. Well, she's married to our kinsman, Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. So she'll stay with us. So she stayed with the Banu Umayyah, and she actually stayed with Hind bint Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Hind, who would later become radiallahu anha. And Hind radiallahu anha would tell her that this is because of your father. You know, this miscarriage you suffered, this happened because of your father. And rebuking Zainab radiallahu anha for trying to go to Medina. Obviously, we saw in the previous hadith that she was willing to support her, but when it didn't work out, obviously she's going to be outspoken about the fact that I don't support what you're doing or the larger picture here. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back in Medina turns to Zayd ibn Harithah radiallahu anhu, who at this point in time is considered the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the ayah I recited at the beginning, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of your men. This ayah actually came to nullify the idea that Zainab radiallahu anhu should be treated as a biological son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of your men, then he cannot be considered a biological father of Zayd radiallahu anhu. And in Jahiliyyah, if you adopted a son, it was as if they were next to biological, if not treated completely biologically. So until that ayah was revealed, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum called Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu Zayd ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is before that ayah was revealed. So naturally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to tell one quote unquote son of his to go and get his sibling, his sister Zainab radiallahu anha. So he tells Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, can you go and bring my daughter to me, Zainab radiallahu anha? Zayd radiallahu anhu replies, of course, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Zayd radiallahu anhu, take my ring, my khatam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually entrusted Zayd radiallahu anhu with his ring to get Zainab radiallahu anha. So Zayd radiallahu anhu left by camel and he continued to make his way discreetly until outside of Mecca he found a shepherd. And he asked the shepherd, whose flock are you tending? Most of the time shepherds back then were not independent entities, but they actually served as flock bearers for certain important people. So Zayd radiallahu anhu goes to the shepherd and he says, whose flock is this that you're tending to? This shepherd says, oh, Abu al-As, who happens to be the husband of Zainab radiallahu anha. And he says, So to whom do these sheep belong? And the shepherd answered, to Zainab binti Muhammad radiallahu anha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after accompanying the shepherd for some time, Zayd radiallahu anhu turns to the shepherd and he says, can I entrust you with something that you don't mention to anyone else? The shepherd says, sure, you can. So Zayd radiallahu anhu gave the shepherd the ring to give to Zainab radiallahu anha as a marker of we're here. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are here to take you to Medina. So the shepherd goes and he gives this ring to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Zainab radiallahu anha gets the ring, sees it, and she says, who gave this to you? He replied, the shepherd said, a man. Zayd didn't give him his name radiallahu anhu, he just said, a man. She said, where did you leave him? He told her the shepherding place. So she remained silent, and at nightfall, she went out until she found the shepherd, and the shepherd said, all right, mount up, I'll take you to Zayd radiallahu anhu. But she answered, no, you'll go in front, and I'm not going to mount with you, I'll ride behind you. Right? So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha is still being cautious. So he mounted, and then she rode on a separate ride behind him, until they met Zayd radiallahu anhu, and Zayd radiallahu anhu then took her to Medina. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her in Medina, he became so happy, he said, hiya afdalu banati usibat fiya. She is the most virtuous of all my daughters who has been afflicted on my account, who has suffered on behalf of me. And that's truly a beautiful praise that can be given from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to his daughter, and that can be given as simply any praise from a father to a daughter. And now some of the tabi'in used to have a question. They used to say, how can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said this, hiya afdalu banati usibat fiyya, when he also said that Fatima radiallahu anha was sayyidatu nisa'i ahlil jannah, that Fatima radiallahu anha is the chiefess of the women of Jannah. And Fatima radiallahu anha seems to have also held a very meritorious place in the eyes of the Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, there's a few responses. Number one, afdalu banati means min afdali banati. She's amongst the most virtuous of my daughters. And Imam Hakim actually brings a lot of proofs in his Mustadrak to show that that's a valid phraseology in the Arabic language to say afdal and to actually mean one of the most virtuous, not necessarily the most virtuous. But another response is simply looking at the sentence itself. And this is something I want to characterize about the life of Zainab radiallahu anha, is that Zainab radiallahu anha went through considerably more physical ordeals than Fatima radiallahu anha did. We don't have any mention of Fatima radiallahu anha being impaled to such an extent that she suffers a miscarriage, or being persecuted on the same way that we hear of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hiya afdalu banati usibat fiyya," the most virtuous of my daughters who has been afflicted on my behalf or in regards to me. So Zainab radiallahu anha held a special place in the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because she suffered on his behalf. She suffered one of the greatest losses a mother can suffer, and she suffered them for Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to make her way to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could say, "Hiya afdalu banati usibat fiyya." Now, there's also a beautiful story in regards to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, which shows that not only was she her own independent woman, but she was also a reflection of her mother, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and perhaps one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had one of the most intimate and one of the most powerful influences on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, where years after her passing, he would still tear up at the mere mention of her. This narration mentions that, so as I mentioned, the husband of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was not a Muslim for a while. And during the Battle of Badr, he actually fought against the Muslims. Abu al-As radiallahu anhu fought against the Muslims. The Muslims then, naturally, since they won the Battle of Badr, they captured Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. At this point in time, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha actually sent money to ransom her husband. So it mentions, لَمَّا بَعْثَ أَهْلُ مَكَّةَ فِي فِدَاءِ أُسَارَاهُمْ, that when the people of Mecca sent their ransoms for the captives held by the Muslims, بَعْثَتْ زَيْنَبُ بِنْتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا فِي فِدَاءِ أَبِ الْعَاصِ بِقِلَادَةٍ. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha sent for the ransom of Abu al-As radiallahu anhu, not at this time a Muslim, a necklace. وَكَانَتْ خَدِيجَةُ أَدْخَلَتْهَا بِهَا عَلَىٰ أَبِ الْعَاصِ حِينَ بَنَىٰ عَلَيْهَا. And this was the very necklace that Khadija radiallahu anha had personally given Zainab radiallahu anha the day she married Abu al-As radiallahu anhu. So, فَلَمَّا رَآهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that necklace, raqqalaha raqqatan shadidatan, or riqqatan shadidatan, he became extremely soft-hearted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam essentially saw what was a memory of his wife and being given away by his daughter. And obviously, even though it would be coming to him, that's something, it would just a lot of memories all at once of his wife, of his daughter. So he said to his sahaba, إن رأيتم أن تطلقوا لها أسيرها وردوا عليها الذي لها, that if you think it's fine, just let her husband go the way he is and return this to her. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so overcome with emotion at seeing the necklace of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu ta'ala anha, that he simply said, give her husband back to her, that she doesn't need to pay anything, my daughter won't have to pay anything, and return the necklace to my daughter as well. But he made a condition that now my daughter should come to Medina and she cannot stay with the husband, because the husband is a non-Muslim and is not lawful for her, and she should just come to Medina. And that's what happened, and that's, she made her way to Medina. Now, Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' was an extremely noble son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith in Mu'jam al-Kabir of Tabarani which mentions that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even in Jahiliyyah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already betrothed three of his daughters. He had betrothed Zainab radiallahu anha to Abu al-As. He had betrothed Ruqayya and Ummi Kulthum to Utbah and Utaybah, two sons of actually Abu Lahab. So they're cousins. But then, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi, Abu Lahab told his sons to divorce the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to do it in an extremely vile manner, to just divorce them and do away with them completely. And the sons did that. they extremely disrespectfully disengaged the marriage with the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they came to Abu al-As. They told Abu al-As, do the same thing. Abu al-As radiallahu anhu, not a Muslim at this time, said, I would never give Zainab radiallahu anha up for any other woman of the Quraysh, and I will not disengage my marriage with her. So it mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say extremely good things about Abu al-As. He saw him as a noble son-in-law. Now, towards the 8th year of Hijrah, Abu al-As radiallahu anhu was on an expedition when he was captured by some Muslims. He was just in a caravan, and at this time the Muslims were taking advantage of the Qurayshi caravans, and so they captured the caravan of none other than the husband of Zainab radiallahu anha. So they captured him, but Abu al-As managed to sneak his way to Zainab radiallahu anha, his wife, and he said, grant me protection. So once you've granted this person protection, then no one can do anything to him. So then, one day while they're praying Fajr, all the Muslimin are in the masjid. Zainab radiallahu anha peeks her head from out of her curtain, and she says that everyone should know that I have granted protection to Abu al-As, that the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has granted protection to Abu al-As, her husband, Ibn al-Rabi'ah, who is still not a Muslim at this time. And after the Fajr is over, she said this while they were praying Fajr. After the Fajr is over, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns to his Sahaba and he says, I had no knowledge of this. I did not know she was going to do this. But لَقَدْ أَجِرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ يَا زَيْنَبْ. But whoever you give protection to, we have given protection to, O Zainab radiallahu anha. And then he said that even the lowest and most humblest of the Muslims can give protection to whomsoever they desire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted the jiwar, the protection that Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha lent to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'ah. Later, Abu al-As radiallahu anhu would go to Medina, to Mecca, to finish that business caravan expedition. And then he came back to Medina and accepted Islam with Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha and reinstated his marriage with her. When he came back to Medina and accepted Islam, there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam simply reinstate an existing marriage, or did he have a second marriage done with them? And there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars regarding that. But nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reinstated their marriage, and then the two lived together. Unfortunately, just a few months after their reunion, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha would pass away in the 8th year of Hijrah, before the conquest of Mecca. And there's a beautiful narration about it, that at the death of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, at her funeral, it mentions that, well, how did she pass away? It's mentioned actually that Habbar, when he impaled her with his spear, not only didn't cause a miscarriage, it caused long-term internal bleeding, and that bleeding continued until her body could no longer withstand it, and she passed away as a result. There's a narration which mentions in Hakim that at her funeral, tuwafiyat Zainabu binti Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab radiallahu anha, passed away. And فَخَرَجَ لِجَنَازَتِهَا, and he left for her funeral prayer, her janazah. وَخَرَجْنَا مَعَهُ, and we left with him. فَرَأَيْنَاهُ كَئِيبًا حَزِينًا, we saw him extremely, extremely sad and just completely gloomy, كَئِيبًا, to be in a state of sadness that's caused almost by pain. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَبْرَهَا, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered her grave, فَخَرَجَ مُتَّمِعَ اللَّوْنِ, he came out and he was extremely radiant of color. His color, he was shining. Right before, he was extremely gloomy, and now when he's coming out of the grave, he's suddenly extremely gleaming and shining and happy. So فَسَأَلْنَاهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, we asked him about that. فَقَالَ إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةً مِسْقَامَةً, she was a woman who used to get sick a lot. فَذَكَرْتُ شِدَّةَ الْمَوْتِ وَضَمَّةَ الْقَبْرِ, and so while I was in the grave, I remembered the pangs of death and the pressing of the grave, the squeezing of the grave. فَدَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْهَا, so I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her, to make it easy for her. And since he was multami alone, extremely shining and gleaming, we can assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a daughter whom her father loved very much, and she was a daughter who was extremely outspoken in her support of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From leaving in the day to make hijrah to her father, to granting protection to her husband in front of her father, we can see that this was a woman who was extremely outspoken in the decision she made And it's very interesting that when Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu came to Medina trying to, before the conquest of Mecca, when the treaty was broken and he was trying to reinstate it, obviously that didn't happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca. He came to Fatima radiallahu anha and he said, grant me protection so that, you know, no one's going to hurt me while I'm here. Obviously this is the chief enemy against Islam at this point in time. Fatima radiallahu anha, the excuse she gives to him, as mentioned by Maghazi bin Musa ibn Uqba, is, I can't give you protection, I'm a woman. But as we saw just a couple months ago, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, who's also a woman, saw no such constraint on herself. She did give protection to her husband in the midst of literally the entire Medina at the time. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or almost all of them, would pray Fajr in Masjid Nabawi. So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha saw herself as a much more public figure, that she had the civil right to be able to speak out on behalf of herself, on behalf of her husband. Whereas Fatima radiallahu anha lived a much more reticent life around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a decision, that's the decision I'm going to go with. Whereas Zainab radiallahu ta'ala was a lot more outspoken in her decisions. And similarly, where Fatima radiallahu anha, the youngest daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived a life that was extremely attached to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rarely do we ever find a moment where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not in the same locality or region as his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, except when he was out on an expedition or battle. But Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the other hand, was always attached to her father. Was away from her father. She was away from her father for a long time before she could migrate to Medina. So she was forced to deal with problems and situations without the direct support of her father. And which often reflects oftentimes in eldest children in general, where they're forced to become a lot more independent a lot earlier, and they have to deal with a lot of problems with the love of their parents, but often without their direct support. And Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha is perhaps an archetype of that. So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha is the daughter of her father, but she exhibits a lot of different angles that we don't often consider in the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was outspoken. She was a woman who was tactful. She was a woman who knew how to make her way around people. She was a woman who was who, if she had a right, she exercised that right. And she wasn't shy about exercising it either. So once again, it just goes back to that singular ayah mentioned at the beginning. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not destine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a father of sons. He destined him to be a father of daughters. And just as much as that, as the wisdom of that divine decision reflects in Fatima radiallahu anha, it reflects just as much in Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha as well. I'd like to end with a poem that's actually sung by Abu al-As, her husband himself. It's mentioned that when Abu al-As radiallahu anhuma, even in Jahiliyyah, he used to sing poetry about Zainab radiallahu anha, his wife. And one of those poems was that, I used to remember Zainab radiallahu anha even when the camels bent their mounts at Iram. So when I was all the way in Damascus, where Iram adat al-imad of Ad, even when I'm all the way in Damascus, all I'm doing is I'm remembering Zainab. And truly, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant rain to the sacred precinct where she lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making dua. Abu al-As radiallahu anhu is making dua for the haram because it's where Zainab, his wife radiallahu anha, lives. He says, she's the daughter of her father, the daughter of Al-Amin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's the daughter of the trustworthy person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every husband can only praise of his wife what he really knows about her. So he's praising his wife with all these qualities, and he's saying that these are things I truly know and believe about my wife. That even all the way in Damascus, I make dua for the haram on account of her, Zainab radiallahu anha. And it was a beautiful relationship they had, and it's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often say that Abu al-As radiallahu anhu was a good man and a good son-in-law of his. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to be like the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Sahabika nujum bi ayyihimu ihtadaytum bih, that my sahaba are like stars, whichever one you follow, you will be guided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us to the star ways of His guidance and to make us like, and to allow us to take ibrah and hidden lesson from the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as much as we take ibrah from all the other sahaba radiallahu anhum. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.